This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
The Cardinals finally scored some runs on Saturday, but Miles Michaelis did not have a great game. What should Cardinals fans expect from him the rest of the year? Coming up on B-Shape Daily. What's going on, everyone, and welcome in to this edition of B-Shape Daily. Brendan Schaefer here with you in the evening hours of Saturday, April 20th, 2024. Oh boy, the Cardinals and their series against the Milwaukee Brewers. Yeah, it's not going St. Louis's way. They drop the second game of the series on Saturday, and this was a different story from what happened in Game 1, where the offense didn't show up, and from what had really been happening over the last couple of weeks. Anytime the Cardinals have lost, you've basically been able to blame the offense, and for the most part, you said, hey, the bats really let the pitching down in this one. I'm not saying that's been every game this season, every loss this year so far for the Cardinals, but a lot of them. That was not the case on Saturday. And coming up on B-Shape Daily, we will talk about the day for Miles Michaelis. It was a rough one, and in a game where he did get a little bit of run support for a change, Michaelis was not able to do his job, and decidedly the Cardinal relievers that came out to pitch in relief of Michaelis did not do their collective jobs either, and the Cardinals lose this one 12-5. It'll be Sonny Gray, the last line of defense, to potentially keep the Cardinals from falling on the wrong end of a sweep within the NL Central. That'll be Sunday afternoon in a game that, apropos of nothing, I'll actually be attending as a spectator for the first time in 2024. And evidently, my wife tells me, with some pretty good seats. So looking forward to that on Sunday. But we got to talk about this one first. I know the Night Owl crowd is sometimes waiting for these. Appreciated all the nice comments on the last YouTube video for the folks that are up in the wee hours of the morning, as I often am recording these things. It was kind of cool to see that a lot of you say, hey, no, I watch these at 3 a.m. or listen to these at 4 in the morning or 5 in the morning or whatever the case is. So appreciate you guys out there. If you're not subscribed yet to the channel, now's your chance to do so. Lots of Cardinals content has flowed through this digital airspace so far this year. We've had a new video or two, at least one, every single day of the Cardinals regular season so far. So if you like Cardinals content, hit subscribe in the lower right-hand corner of your screen on this video, and make sure to like the video as well. And follow on Spotify too. B-Shape Daily is the name of the podcast that you can search on Spotify or Apple Podcasts as well. And by the way, I teased it a little bit yesterday, but I may be able to come up with a way through Spotify to, for those who like the podcast and want to support it on another level, to get the ads taken off of your listening experience if you listen on Spotify. So let me know if that's something you might be interested in, but I might be rolling that out soon. I'm still kind of dealing with that on the Spotify side to figure out if I know what I'm doing. Anyway, let's get to the game. Cardinals lose it 12-5, and this one was a bummer because we've been talking about how good the pitching has been, and I think largely that's been true. Cardinals entered Saturday's game ranked 16th in MLB in starters ERA at like 4.06, and I believe they were 8th in MLB in reliever ERA. So the bullpen had been doing a really nice job. Now, obviously, that all changed on Saturday with Michaelis giving up 5 runs, all earned, 3 home runs, and the bullpen that came in behind him gave up a total of 7 runs, 6 of which were earned. So not a banner day for the Cardinal pitching staff. And Michaelis in particular, it was disappointing to see the way that this one played out. And I'll tell you why. And I know that Miles Michaelis has been kind of up and down so far this year. He had a couple of quality starts mixed in, but now this is 5 total starts for Michaelis on the season. And he's sitting tonight with a 6.49 ERA. So not good enough, not good at all. He's had three games in which he's allowed five runs, all of them earned. And in each of those games, Miles Michaelis unable to get through the fifth inning. It's been one or the other for him. It's been quality starts, which he had two of those at San Diego and home against Philly. But now he has had three starts that went basically the complete opposite direction. And in two of those starts, it's been the home run ball that has come back to really haunt him. That was the case on Saturday with the three home runs that he gave up to Milwaukee. He gave up the two on opening day against the Dodgers as well. His last start in Arizona was similarly a struggle, but it wasn't the home run ball. It was just, you know, that was the kind of game that you'd hear from Miles Michaelis about the soft contact. Well, if that's the case again on Saturday, the Brewers just happened to whisper three balls over the fence. They just knocked that soft contact 399 feet, 400 feet, et cetera, and the Brewers win it 12-5. No, I don't think they were whispering it over the outfield wall today. They tagged him, and there were a couple of these pitches, and the reason I mentioned that it's disappointing, and Cardinals fans are like, yeah, no duh. But why it's disappointing is I think this is something that, I mean, I guess I know Cardinals manager Ollie Marmol would have been targeting coming into the game. To see Miles Michaelis get ahead and throw more effective pitches with two strikes. And that's where he ended up getting haunted on some of these home runs today. I asked Ollie Marmol this morning because I did cover the clubhouse before the game, covered the pregame, but did not cover the actual game, went home after that. But I was there this morning and asked Ollie what he's seen from Miles Michaelis so far this season. You've got two quality starts coming into Saturday and two games where it kind of goes the other way on him. What are they looking for when he's at his best? And one of the things that Ollie mentioned to me was this notion of when he's able to get ahead, throw strikes. He said he's got to land his curveball, but if he's throwing strikes, he's getting to two strike counts. Then is where you can start to throw some of those pitches where you're trying to get the guy to chase. You're not putting it in his wheelhouse when you're in the pitcher's count. And I think in the fourth inning, when we saw Bryce Chirang and Jackson Chourio, the talented rookie for the Milwaukee Brewers, the outfielder that they signed to the long deal before he ever played in the big leagues, those guys go back-to-back on him in the fourth. And while the pitch to Bryce Chirang was not in the strike zone, it looked like it was a little bit low and inside, it was not a pitch that was very difficult for Bryce Chirang to handle. 86, I guess that would have been a, I guess I could look at the Statcast, if that was a slider or a cutter, it just was kind of meh. 86, inner half, and Bryce Chirang unloaded a slider at 86. I said cutter because it looked like a pitch that like didn't slide. It didn't move horizontally side to side or even down and in toward the left-handed batter the way that it would have had to. I get that it wasn't in the strike zone, but that's not a pitch. I mean, that's just not a pitch for 1-2. If you're going to miss with that pitch, you got to miss, I think, low and in off the plate enough that there's some bite late on that pitch and on that slider that Bryce Chirang doesn't have it on a tee for himself in a, I think it was an 0-2 count. Indeed it was. And then next batter, Jackson Chourio, that's a 1-2 pitch, 93 middle away. Chourio able to get out, get the bat head on it, extend his arms. It's not far enough away to be an effective pitch. It's basically, we say middle-middle. That one's technically not middle-middle, but it was a very hittable pitch to me in a 1-2 count situation. 93. And I get it. Miles Michaelis isn't the hardest thrower in the world, but I think you've got to be more meticulous with location in that spot. And in particular, because the Cardinals had just taken the lead. The offense finally, all this talk about Miles Michaelis and not getting run support, which I think in part it's true. In another part, I think the way they measure that stat, I'm not 100% sure that I agree with the methodology, because I think sometimes when they're given that stat about getting no run support, I think they're only counting the innings in which he is pitching. And there have been some games where he'll leave the game, but then later on the team will score some runs. And so that's not, I think it seems worse than it is when they deliver that stat, because you think, wow, they went the whole game and didn't score. They scored one run. That does happen sometimes, but other times I think they do pile up some runs later on. And that maybe is a bit of a misnomer of a stat. Although I do think the general sentiment of, hey, the Cardinals don't usually score for Miles Michaelis is very much accurate. Today, it was not accurate. The Cardinals were able to score a run in the first and then 3 in the second, so they had the lead. And then a couple innings later is when you give it back with the back-to-back home runs to Bryce Terang, who I think is a very good player, by the way. I remember watching him when he was in AAA, playing for the Nashville Sounds in Nashville, and thinking, man, this guy just feels like sort of like a Brendan Donovan to me, except he's got more speed and is absolutely taken off right now with the start that he's had for Milwaukee. They just come up with these guys in Milwaukee. They come up with these players, and they hit, and they perform, and the Brewers are eternal. Bryce Terang hitting .323 with an .877 OPS. Big day for the Milwaukee second baseman today. But just those two pitches, that kills you. That kills you if you're Miles Michaelis, and the start that he was looking to have, it goes off the rails there in the fourth inning. And then the fifth, he's not able to get out of the fifth inning before the Cardinals go to the bullpen. Ollie Marmol goes to his bullpen. And it's another example of a short outing for Michaelis. And the bullpen was rough today too, but at that point, the game sort of was getting out of hand. Cardinals weren't doing much, anything down the stretch. They scored a fifth run in the ninth inning on a sacrifice fly, but by that point, the game was done and dusted. 18 hits for the Milwaukee Brewers in this game, and they scored 12 runs as well. Only a couple of walks, so the Cardinals weren't giving up a ton of free bases, but they were serving them up on a platter. And I think in that fourth inning in particular, Michaelis has to make better pitches when he is ahead in counts in particular. Again, that was the response that Ollie gave me this morning when I said, when he's at his best, what are you guys looking for? He said that. He said, get ahead in counts, and then you start to look for those chase pitches. And instead, Michaelis was putting, I just feel like, too much of the strike zone on the home run to Chorio when you're throwing 93. Again, it's middle away. Extends his arm, hits it the opposite field the way it's pitched, and ends up going into the basket there. There's no basket, but it just cleared the wall in right field. And Terang, like I said, I understand that it was location was maybe not a big issue, but if you think about the break on that slider, there just wasn't much. It didn't have much bite to it, and that's a spot where it's an easy pitch, I feel like, for a left-handed batter to react to, coming in on your hands when it actually doesn't get to your hands, and it's just kind of sitting out there and spinning on a tee for you. He was able to golf it out with some relative ease. So that was problematic. The home run that he gave up in the first inning was one of the worst pitches I think I've ever seen, but it was not applicable to what we're talking about as it pertains to being ahead in the count. It was a 1-0 pitch to Rhys Hoskins, but that, again, was 84, and it was just an 84-mile-per-hour nothing. It's not a slider. I mean, that's what it registered as on StatCast, but that's just a middle 84. Put it on a tee and watch it go far. That's all there was to it. And it was a mistake pitch. And as much as I joke, I said, well, they whispered it over the fence. It's that darn soft contact again. In fairness, Miles Michaelis owned every bit of the rough outing that he had today. Here's Miles Michaelis from the postgame, courtesy of Bally Sports Midwest.
It stinks. You know, we played some great defense today, put a few runs on the board, and you know, I wasn't able to keep the runs off the board, and that one's on me today. I didn't do my job out there.
Cardinal starter Miles Michaelis, not happy with his performance, taking responsibility for it, gave up 3 home runs. I think you could make a case that all 3 of the pitches deserved to be hit a long way, even though one of them was out of the strike zone. The nature of the pitch, the spot that it was in a 2-strike count, I think is a mistake by Miles Michaelis. He went on to say in the postgame that he hadn't gone back specifically yet to look at maybe what happened on some of those pitches, felt that maybe 1 or 2 of them got too much of the plate, but won't play any of that audio because, again, he had said he had not really gone back to look at that point as he was doing his post-start routine or whatever the case might be there.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy? Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I just wanted to play the clip because I see these comments sometimes where people say, oh, this is just excuses from the Cardinals. I'm like, well, no. Last night, Paul Goldschmidt, and if you listen to B-Shafe Daily from Friday night, tough loss for the Cardinals, 2-1 in extras. Paul Goldschmidt had an opportunity to win the game in the ninth. Nolan Gorman had multiple opportunities with big-time ducks on the pond to really swing that one in the Cardinals' favor, and neither guy were able to do it. They go a combined 0-10. But people say, oh, it's excuses. Paul Goldschmidt does nothing but take accountability for his struggles last night. And we played some of that audio in the previous B-Shape Daily, so go check that out from Friday night if you're interested. And Miles Michaelis is doing the same thing here. He's taking accountability for, hey, it was my fault. We lost this game because of me today. He's partially right. He didn't pitch well. He gave up three home runs in spots that I think Miles Michaelis has to be a pitch maker. He has to execute with his stuff that he has at a rate and at a level that's going to be higher than what some other guys have to do, because he's not throwing 96 anymore. He never really was that guy to pump it up too frequently on the velocity. He's going to be in that 91, 92, 93 range on velocity fastball-wise most of the time, and he's got to execute those pitches. And when it comes to the slider, I don't think it was a good pitch for him today. At least in the moments where it cost him the most, you saw that pitch just kind of doing nothing. It did not have the bite or the movement on it for the location in which it was thrown on a couple of those home runs to both Hoskins and then to Bryce Turang on that ball that was just kind of low and in and golfed out of the yard. That's where the game sort of turns against the Cardinals. I understand that Miles only gave up the 5 earned runs, and so ultimately the Cardinals could have continued to add on. It's good to score in the first couple of innings as St. Louis did, but they could have added on later on. Cardinals get a double from Arenado, who absolutely is back to looking like himself, minus the power. He's still not hitting homers, and I do think that's, like, he can't end the season with one homer. He's not gonna. He can't end the season with 8 homers either, though. Like, Arenado's got to start hitting some home runs, or it's going to be a different guy that we're talking about. Even with a guy who's hitting 300, he's got a .298 average after going 1-for-2 with that double to kick things off for the Cardinals today in the first inning. Scores Wilson Contreras on the double to left. He's pulling the ball. That's great. It is still reality, though, that I think Nolan's going to have to hit some bombs. You can't have a Nolan Arenado hitting 13 homers on the year. He's going to have to hit 25 or 30. I don't know if there's time in the schedule for him to do that. I think there still is. But it'd be, you know, if you're a Cardinals fan, you want to see that start sooner rather than later. But generally, at least it is encouraging that he's seeing the ball well. He's been on base in all but like 2 games this season. So it's just really been the power that's not been as active of a part of his game. I think that will come. Encouraged with the way that he's seeing the ball again, though. Contreras is doing everything you could hope for. He's been their best hitter to this point, a .968 OPS. Goldschmidt did come up with a base hit today at long last, and also another RBI ground out. So a couple of productive swings for Goldschmidt in this game. Still, I think, a ways to go for him because he struck out a couple of times, but maybe that is some progress. Brandon Donovan's been struggling. It's been kind of a quiet thing, and I think we've mentioned it here and there, but he's down to a .694 OPS, and he goes 0-for-4 today with a couple of Ks. The batting average is down to .211 for the Cardinal leadoff man. So it's a struggle right now for the Cardinals, ladies and gentlemen. When we look at the pitching and say, hey, well, at least you're able to rely upon that. Now if they could just get the bats going. And then the bats collectively, they do put up 5 runs, which is better than they had been doing. But then you start to look at the lineup a little bit and go, wow. I mean, over the last 7 games, Brendan Donovan's 2-for-29 with an .069 and doesn't have any extra base hits in that span. On base is .176 for the last week. Like, okay, there are other guys that you thought were basically guys you didn't have to think about, and it was just plug him in and he'll go. And even some of those guys are starting to take a dip at this point in time. So, I don't know, man. It's a tough situation. Bright spot, Michael Ciani started for Victor Scott again, went 2-for-3, scored a couple of runs, and he also reached base via walk. The Victor Scott thing is probably coming to a head sooner rather than later. I don't know if it's going to be a move that happens before the first injured Cardinal position player comes back, but at that point, it would be my expectation that Victor probably goes down. And the reason I say this, and I asked Ollie this morning, that's how we kicked off the writer's media availability session in his office. I asked about the center field thing again. And the angle that I was kind of playing was if Victor Scott, because I saw Siani not in the lineup, or pardon me, Vic not in the lineup, and Siani was. And the thing for me is if Victor's going to be here, he has to play. And if you don't want to make the decision to have him here, that's okay. But Ollie Marmol has been one of Victor's staunchest supporters. So it's not that he's trying to almost force the front office's hand to get him sent down. That would not be the case. Ollie wants him here. That being said, you have a matchup against a lefty, D.L. Hall, on Saturday. So lefty on lefty where you've got Victor Scott already struggling. They go with another player in Michael Siani. Now, Siani's a lefty as well, but that's a spot where maybe they're protecting Victor in the matchup. Siani ends up having a really nice day. Maybe that earns him a little bit more run and makes it even all that much easier to go ahead and pull the trigger and make the decision to go move Victor to AAA Memphis and get him the everyday opportunity. Because again, I just don't think it makes sense for him to stay in the big leagues if he's sitting on the bench even half the time. He plays every day or you make a move. That would be the direction that I would go. And I know I'm someone who said he should stay and he should play. And I've maintained that for a good long while. And I don't have any regrets about saying the Cardinals needed to give Vic this opportunity, because there's a world in which it didn't go this poorly for him offensively. And maybe they're having a different conversation right now about the way it's played out. But he struggled. There's no doubt about that. And I think the Cardinals, with the way that they're struggling offensively, today notwithstanding, they've got to make some decisions about what they're going to prioritize. And that was really what I was focusing on. Ollie said, I guess you're about to ask me about Newt Barr in center, if that's something we'll consider. I said, no, it's really more just about if Vic's going to be here. And we kind of talked through it, and I asked my question. And you get the sense from Ollie Marmol that it's obviously something that they recognize is, and I talked about this with Josh Jacobs of Deal in the Cards on a recent podcast, which you can find on the YouTube channel and available on Spotify too. I talked about that really being the crux of the team at this point. Like, if there's any one spot that's a really difficult decision, I feel like it's center field and sort of balancing, do you want to go for the best offense or do you want to continue to prioritize defense, because defense has really been helping this pitching staff out. Now, Saturday, it wouldn't have really mattered who was out there defensively with the home runs the Cardinals allowed and just the significant amount of loud contact. Again, we make jokes about the soft contact thing because that's sort of been the mantra at times that we hear, especially when it comes to Michaelis, because there have been times where he might give up some soft contact that gets through early in an inning, and instead of ending the inning on a batted ball that you thought you'd have been out of a jam, it extends it, and then maybe the loud contact comes later. But in fairness, it's still the soft contact in that moment that extended the inning and led to the pitch that's made for a mistake and goes a long way. Today, it was really not the case. It just happened that he made some mistake pitches, and he made too many of them, causing him to sort of be chased early from this game, even in a game where the Cardinals were able to score a little bit for him. I'm not letting the offense entirely off the hook, because you scored four and then you basically stopped until you got to the last inning of the game, and by then it was basically all done and dusted. But this was a game where Michaelis was, the guy that kind of cost him. And I think among all the starting pitchers in this rotation, he would be the guy that I would say for him, you almost need the best defense possible, because you know he's going to pitch to contact. He's got one of the lowest strikeout rates in baseball. For an organization that said, we want to get more away from pitch to contact and try to find more swing and miss, whether it's in the guys we signed for the rotation or in the bullpen, that was sort of the way the Cardinals described things. And I think in some ways they did accomplish that. Sonny Gray, Lance Lynn. But Kyle Gibson doesn't strike out a lot, and we know that Miles Michaelis is still under contract because they gave him the extension. He does not strike out very many guys over the course of a season. That's just going to be the reality of his game. Now, he did strike out five today, so we're seeing a little bit more of it from him. But the contact and the fly ball contact in particular, he's going to need to have those outfielders behind. So, and Siani made a great catch, by the way, today. Was able to help get him out of a jam early in this game. The offense jumped out. It was looking pretty good with the way that things unfolded in the second inning. But the contact continued, and the Brewers ended up really being able to do some damage against this Cardinal pitching staff. And so I don't know what the answer is as far as how you handle it, because now it's a spot where, and you can't really overreact to every one game. I know there are going to be some fans who say, well, now see, the pitching stinks. We knew it stunk. And that's why it just doesn't matter how good the defense is, because this pitching isn't going to be good enough. I mean, maybe. We'll see. But I don't think you change your entire organizational direction based on one game. Generally, and they still played good defense today. They just didn't. I mean, the pitchers didn't do their jobs. I don't know that you can necessarily look at a game like today and say, see, this means we need to just totally ignore defense as a priority, and we're the St. Louis Cardinals. We're just going to have to outmash everybody we play. There's got to be a balance to that. And the crux of it, as I, you know, we continued with Ollie Marmol and talking about it, is basically the dudes who are going to be the dudes are going to have to be the dudes, or this team's basically not going anywhere. Ollie stopped short of saying that, but the look on his face said, if Gorman and Goldschmidt aren't hitting, you know, this is, you could change the lineup all you want. He alluded to it. Nobody even had to ask the question. So for people that would say, well, you know, Ollie Marmol, why is he so afraid to talk about being challenged with his lineups? He's the one who brought it up. He said, I'm sure somebody's about to ask me, why not change the lineups? And he said, yeah, we could change the lineups. You know, I get it. He understands it. However, and what I want to do, since I know that Jeff Jones tweeted this quote out, I didn't tweet the quote out, but he did, so I can just read it from his Twitter. Credit him, of course. This was what Marmol had to say about the lineup stuff. Quote, you can do all the shuffling you want. At the end of the day, if those two guys, let's talk about Goldie and Gorman, aren't in the middle of it hitting doubles and homers, then, and he sort of made that gesture that he made to the usher out in Oakland, which was just kind of like, you know the deal. If those guys aren't hitting, you know the deal. He also added at the end of this, both of those guys we have a lot of trust in. In order for us to be who we're going to be, those guys are going to have to do what we count on them to do, and they will. We have a ton of trust that Goldie and Gorman are going to be just fine. He actually said Gorman and Goldie. But that's the bottom line to all of this. He understands that you can change the lineup as well. And there might be some validity to doing it just kind of for the sake of doing it. I don't think Ollie really strikes me as the type of guy that feels that's a necessity. I understand why fans might feel that way.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But something else that he added, and he's aware, too, of how fans sort of look at it, because he sort of paused and said, I want to make sure I'm framing this carefully, because when we go into his office as writers, I'm not playing that audio on this podcast. We can write that, we can talk about it, but I'm not going to, that's just sort of the, what I don't know if that's even a specific rule, but to me it is. That's just the way that it would, the way that it should be done, because he'll do pre-games with folks with cameras and stuff, but when I'm in there with the writers, that's for what that's for. And so at one point in the middle of this discussion, he said, I want to say this the right way because I don't know how it'll come across in print, but it's hard if I remove myself and become a fan. This is Ollie speaking. It's hard not to couple last year with the beginning of this year. So he understands that that's hard for fans who looked at last year and said, oh my gosh, this is a continuation. He's basically saying maybe pump the brakes on that, and he's got reasons for it. But while fully acknowledging that fans are inevitably going to feel that way and make those comparisons. Ollie went on to talk about understanding how that mindset, if you're sort of blending the 2 years together, can create an obvious sense of panic based on certain guys not doing well. But he said, if you truly can remove last year and look at this as just the 20 games or so that it is, he feels that genuinely these games feel and look different than the way things began and ultimately went last year. There are differences internally that they can sense about this team compared to last year's team, where like the quiet part out loud of this is like last year's team didn't have the it factor. They didn't have what they needed. They didn't have the recipe in the clubhouse. Whatever the reasons for that were, I don't think it's a state secret anymore that it wasn't what they were looking for. And so they went out and tried to find something different in the offseason with the particular guys that they brought in. You bring in a guy like Sonny Gray for a reason, all right? But they feel as though they've got a different mixture and a mixture that can compete this year. But he adds, and I talked about the lineup thing, this is sort of where he brought it up. He said, I mean, listen, if Goldie and Gorman aren't Goldie and Gorman, we can sit here for the next question I'm happy to answer is, hey, have you thought about shuffling the lineup? And that's where he gave the quote about you can shuffle it all you want. If those guys aren't in the middle doing what they do, that's the part where you can just kind of gesture wildly at 2023 and say, that's what happens, right? Like if those guys, it'd be a different problem than the problems they had in 2023, but you'll get the same result. And I think everybody knows it. You got to have those guys. So when I see the YouTube comments, and look, you can tell me you disagree. And I know a lot of you probably will disagree with Ollie. You would say maybe the same stuff that you said, bench Gorman, bench Goldie. Well, he did bench Gorman today, but it was against a lefty. So that probably is just a standard day to get an off day for him. If ever you're going to do it, it might as well be against a left-handed starter. But if you're going in regularly and your real legitimate earnest idea is to bench Gorman and Goldie, okay, I don't know how you're ever going to claw out of being a bottom half offense in MLB. The only hope for this Cardinal team is to continue playing those guys that have the demonstrated upside over the course of their history to deliver the goods. If you don't want Goldie batting second, again, I can get on board with that. He said he doesn't care where he bats. I almost think Ollie throwing him down in the seven hole for one day. And again, like, we also have to recognize he doesn't manage to placate the fans. If he doesn't see any value in moving Goldie down, he's not going to do it. That being said, my gosh, from where I sit, I hope he does do it just to kind of say, look, all right, he's not entrenched in one spot. Let's just give it a different look. I think that can be valuable. I'm on board with it. So don't shoot the messenger on this one. I was standing right there Friday night when Goldie said, I don't care. I've always told managers I'll bat wherever. It literally does not matter to him, and I believe him. Ollie Marmol, he referenced it. Yeah, you can change it around all you want. Ollie's kind of bottom line in this, though, and saying, look, if these guys don't hit, it's you're rearranging deck chairs is basically the unspoken part of what he was gisting at there. That was the gist of it, right? I don't think there's anybody out there who's a reasonable person and understands this baseball team that would disagree with that sentiment. If Goldie's going to have a 490 OPS and Gorman's going to have a 580 or whatever it is OPS and strike out 200 times without, you know, counteracting that with home run power, the Cardinals probably aren't going to be very good. And that's almost letting alone what Arenado does because he's below OPS norms as of right now. Donovan's below. Walker is far below. But like, Goldie, Arenado, Gorman, Contreras, you got to have those guys. And they've got Contreras, but 1-for-4 is not enough when you're talking about the catalysts of your team. So they can rearrange the lineup all they want to, but I also think there is a world in which they start to run into the problem of, hey, yesterday's problem wasn't the pitching, but today's is, and it's also the hitting, and you start to see things compiling on each other, and then it's like, holy crap, how do you right that ship? Because if you're able to sort of compartmentalize and figure out what the problems are at any given time, at least it feels better because you say, hey, if just this one thing can get fixed, then, you know, the team's off and running. But you can't assume that the other things are going to stay the same. That's the challenge of it. And today the pitching did not stay the same. Miles Michaelis got shelled. And maybe that is a little bit more of the same because he's come into the game on Saturday with a 5.82 ERA. He raised it by nearly a run. He's now at 6.49, so about close to 0.7 on the ERA bump by giving up five runs and not getting through five innings today for Miles Michaelis. What do you expect from Miles Michaelis, Cardinals fans? Like, that's a tough question at this point in time, too. I think he needs the best defense possible behind him, but as we saw today, Michael Ciani crashing into walls and making plays. Mason Wynn is a star defensively, and offensively has done a really nice job, too. Like, he needs the defense behind him. And Ollie said, look, when we break camp, we felt good about being able to carry a defense-first guy, a glove-first guy in center field. They felt like the rest of the offense could basically cover up the blemishes that an unseasoned Victor Scott might have offensively. that they could afford to carry him. And he even mentioned, like, look, we didn't necessarily think Mason Wynn was going to be doing this offensively either. So the unspoken part there is the Cardinals were willing and almost volunteering to carry two glove-first guys up the middle, knowing that there is value to strong defense for a pitching staff that's largely pitched to contact. That is the script I've been telling you guys about on B-Shape Daily since November and December and January and down in Jupiter. It's not changed. What's changed is the middle order bats that are supposed to be the guys carrying this thing haven't really gotten it going yet. So you notice every little blemish, and suddenly that low batting average and basically not even the quality of a pitcher in terms of batting average and OPS for Victor Scott, you're noticing it because you go, well, you can't carry five, you know, slugs in the lineup offensively. And the other four are supposed to be some of your best hitters. So how do you square that circle? And I don't think anybody with the Cardinals, Ollie Marmol certainly doesn't disagree with the sentiment of like, yeah, if these guys get going, it's a lot easier to look at that center field spot and say, yeah, he's doing what he was designed to do, let alone his development and anything else he might be worried about on that front. Having a Ciani or a Victor in center field, regardless of what they're hitting, works if 1 through 7 in the lineup are doing their job, or 1 through 6 even in the lineup are doing their job. It's enough at that point, and the Cardinals don't have that, and so they're straining because they're fighting these opposing forces of like, well, we know this pitching staff needs to have the defense behind it, and they haven't really said anything that I've heard about why they wouldn't want Lars Nootbaar in center field, but I would speculate. I don't think it's that difficult to figure out. He'd be about league average at best defensively. And so taking a Ciani or a Victor out of center, and I think both are above average. I don't care what the defensive runs saved say. You can just miss me with that. I do not care through 21 games or whatever it's been. You're dropping a couple tiers from those guys defensively to Newt in center, but then you have to also account for dropping down from Newt, who's a plus left fielder in my mind, to Brendan Donovan, who might be average, or Alec Burleson, who might be average. So you're really decreasing your defensive prowess at two spots instead of one by moving Nootbaar to center. Is that something this pitching staff can withstand? I don't know. Clearly, the Cardinals felt it was important enough coming in that they basically acknowledged, we're going to take two zeros offensively. Whatever Mason Wynn and Victor Scott give us offensively is going to be a bonus. They're going to bat eighth and ninth, and the rest of the guys are going to carry the lumber. But gosh darn it, if they're not going to be good up the middle defensively, which is what they very much were not consistently last year. Right now, it's a strain. If the Cardinals can consistently hit, I think they'll be able to kind of weather this storm. But also, Matt Carpenter is coming back within maybe a week, week and a half, whatever that ends up being. If he goes out on a rehab next week, you start to have a different conversation. And maybe that's the point at which they have to send somebody down. Now, they don't have to rush Carpenter back, because what real value defensively is he bringing? He's a nice bat off the bench, perhaps. But it's not like I think there's any urgency to need to get him back ASAP. He probably doesn't want to spend 20 days on a rehab assignment, but realistically, we'll see the way that they approach it. But somebody will have to go at that point, and to me, that is probably the point at which it just makes sense to say, hey, Victor, it's not really about you. It's just we had injuries, and now we have fewer of them, and so we're gonna send you out. And Ciani can play center, or Newt can play center, and that's probably the way this is ultimately going to go, barring just a rapid turnaround for Victor offensively, which I would like to see him in the lineup on Sunday to give him that chance to do it. But Michael Ciani deserves a lot of credit. I know he's the overall numbers aren't great, but he had a great day, which already brings him up to like a 170 average and a 5-some-odd OPS, which you might say that sounds gnarly. Yeah, but it's better than a lot of the other guys in the lineup at times. So I don't know. I don't know what the situation is, what the answer is for it, but we're kind of breaking it down the best that we can. And then there's the Miles Michaelis thought, where I don't really think there's anything to be done, but you look at three of his five starts now, he's not been able to navigate through the fifth inning, and he's given up 5 runs in each. He's had 2 quality starts. He's got to locate pitches better. He cannot afford mistakes with the stuff that he has at this stage in his career. I'm not saying he's over the hill and done and cooked, but the pitches that he's making every fifth day at age 35 have not been effective enough to this point in the year to qualify him as anything other than a back-end starter who you can't even really say is eating innings at this point, because the only games in which he eats innings are the ones where he's pitching well. 6 innings, 6 2/3, 2 runs. He's done that a couple of times. in the games where he's given up five, he's not been an innings eater, and he's supposed to be. So give me your impressions of Miles Michaelis. Give me your impressions of kind of these decisions facing Ollie Marmol when it comes to this offense. I know that the game they score five runs in, we're maybe not thinking as much about the offense and the scrutiny on that, but I know it's still going to be a topic because you can't necessarily change your mind about what this team is or isn't in the various facets from one day to the next. You need a little bit larger of a sample size to be able to identify those trends. So let me know in the comments section below here on YouTube what you think, Cardinals fans. I'm going to get this video out as quickly as I possibly can so that you can watch it or listen to it before Sunday. Really, it's just listen. It's going to be audio. I say watch because I will put it on YouTube. But let me know what you think, Cardinals fans. Get those comments in. You guys did a great job. I loved over like 100 and some odd comments. It's like 160 right now, but a lot of them are also me responding to y'all. But at least probably like 100 to 110 comments were you guys. So I really appreciate that. Here's something I'm going to mention at the end of the show for anybody still listening. If you're a Spotify listener or you could see yourself becoming one, I believe there will be a way. I'm still working on it. But Spotify for Podcasters offers a subscription service that if you want to subscribe to the podcast, once I get it set up for a small monthly rate, I think I could remove ads from the podcast by doing that. Again, I am making sure that this is right before I roll it out. But if anybody thinks that might be interesting, I know people are like, I don't want to pay for anything. But I also know that ads are annoying to people. And if people like this podcast and say, hey, I'd be helping to support Brendan and the work that he's doing, and you get a tangible benefit of not having to sit through ads, because I have to run the ads or I do this for free, right? So if that's something that people might be interested in and you listened all the way through to this, let me know in the comments, whether it's YouTube, whether it's DM me on Twitter at BSchaefer12 and let me know what you would think of that. It might be possible. I'm openly teasing it now, fully acknowledging that I have not yet submitted to start that process. So I'm hopeful that with what Spotify is offering, I'll be able to do that. I just don't know for sure because, being quite honest with you, they have gone through a change where Spotify bought the old podcast processor that I used to use. It's still the same, but their interface is constantly shifting and changing. And I think some of their info on their website is actually outdated. So I think this is something I could do. I don't know 100% yet. Let me know in the comments if you think, like, hell yeah, I would love to not have to do ads, because I get it. That's probably everybody's worst experience with the podcast thing. But again, if you're me and you're doing these for 40 minutes, an hour, or whatever, you'd like to have it be part of your career earnings. So anyway, that's going to do it for this edition of the show. I appreciate you guys, as always, for listening. And we'll talk to you next time on BSchaef Daily. Peace.